Father, I just thank you this morning for this wonderful opportunity that you've given me, Lord, to stand before your people. Father, I thank you because your word declares that we will go out with joy and we will be led forth with peace. And the mountains and the hills shall break forth before us, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. And now, Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over this word today. I draw a bloodline in the spirit over this ministry and over the people that you have put before us. And we declare over our lives that we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb. Yeah. And we speak peace to the minds of your people. And I take authority over every hindering spirit of fear that may try to capture my voice. Devil, you're a liar. I cancel your assignment in the spirit. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And I just want to... thank you, Bruce, and the other elders for giving me this opportunity to share. And I wouldn't want to begin with the poem that I believe the Lord gave me when in preparation for today's testimony, and it's called The Lord Keeps His Promises. The Lord keeps his promises, he does. He longs for the soul to seek after his love. God keeps his promises, not one word will he neglect. He gives us his word so we don't have to fret. God keeps his promises. He reminds us all the time with his love so pure, holy, and divine. God keeps his promises. He calls us to trust his plan. And even when we don't see him, we can always trust his hand. God keeps his promises. Please try him out today. I guarantee that you'll open your mouth and boldly say, God keeps his promises, amen. Now listen, as a teacher, I do something called call and response. And what that basically is, I try to get my students engaged in the lesson that I'm doing. And I'm gonna practice that with you. One of the things we do, and I'm a preschool teacher, so I deal with the babies, and we say, 1, 2, 3, eyes on me. And the kids say back to me, 1, 2, eyes on you. So I'm gonna try that with you, but I'm not gonna say 1, 2, 3. My signal is gonna be word up. So when I say word up, I'd like for you to say, God keeps his promises, but you gotta say it with feeling. You gotta say it with emotion. Just like I tell my kids, guys, you need to get into it, because if they don't get into it, I'm gonna do it again. So when I say word up, I want you to say, God keeps his promises. So let's try that, word up. Word up. Amen. My name is Leslie Bracero, and I'm so excited to share my testimony with you today of how the Lord keeps his promises. In Revelations 12 and 11, the Bible declares that we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. So in this season of my life, the Lord is calling me to step out of my old wine skin. How many of you can identify with that? And into this new opportunity that God is doing in this season. So just to give you a little bit about myself, I was raised in a home going to church, but I did not have a relationship with the Lord. So when I was about 7 years old, I remember being in my bedroom, and I was one of those dramatic kids, and I was staring at the wall, and I saw a vision of three kings stand before me. And I heard a voice say, you are special. And I ran into the living room and I said to my mommy, 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 I'm special. She looked at me, she said, yes, you are. Both of my girls are. And I said, no, mommy, no, mommy, I'm special, I'm special. As I went crying back in the room, it was so dramatic, I'm still a little bit. And I tried to recreate that vision, and I was rubbing my eyes to see if I was gonna see those three kings, but I never did. So fast forward a little bit, many years later, again, still going to church. I was a churchgoer. We went to church. That was like the religion that we did. Every Sunday, we went to church. And not knowing who the Lord was, but I had a stirring in my heart that I could not explain. And I didn't know why I was so empty. But I know now that there's a scripture that simply says, God places the eternity in the hearts of men. And that eternity can only be filled with the eternal one. So I went to my grandmother and I said to her, Grandma, we need to read the Bible. She looked at me and she said, you can read it. I said, no, we need to read it as a family. And I started crying again. But I knew that there was something missing in my life. Now, I was surrounded by friends. I have friends and family and people who love me. But there was a hole that was there, and it was very evident because I kept feeling this longing. So a few months later, I was invited to go to a church where there was an evangelist who was preaching. And afterwards, he gave an altar call. And at this time, I was 17, I felt two hands grip me by my shoulders. Now, as a kid, and I'm sure most of you can identify, when we're young, we're very self-conscious of what people think about us. But at that moment, I didn't care. I felt two hands lift me out of the pew. And I still remember what I had on. I had on a pink and white dress, and I went walking down that aisle. And he was a traveling evangelist, so he didn't know me from a can of paint. But he looked at me and he said, Lord, we have a young face here who's been seeking you. And I knew then that God was real, because that was what I was feeling. So I gave my heart to the Lord at that moment. And I went back home and I said, Grandma, do you know where you're going to go when you die? She said, I don't know, maybe heaven. And I started crying again, and I'm about to cry now. Holy Spirit, please keep the tears back for a moment. And I said, no, Grandma, you need to know, you need to know. Because I just experienced that void being filled. Yeah. And it's like the Lord put me on this path to start praying for my family. I was a young Christian, but he gave me all these scriptures relative to salvation. And one in particular was in Acts 16:31. And it says, I and our house shall be saved. So I started to pray that prayer, and I began to bring it before the Lord and say, Lord, you said that I and my house shall be saved. So I would pray and pray and pray and pray and pray that the Lord would touch my grandmother's heart, because he is the one that keeps his promises. Word up. Come on, people. Word up. So I have a few scriptures that I want to share with you. And the one that I said was Acts 16:31 that says the Lord reminds us that we have a covenant with him, that I and our house shall be saved. So I stood on that scripture for many, many, many years. And I remember my grandmother saying, Leslie, now don't you go down there doing all that crying and praying. And because she would hear me, I would pray in the downstairs, and her room was right above where I would pray. And so I'm okay, Leslie, now don't you go down there doing all that praying. But I knew in my heart that that's what God had told me to do. So he had also given me another scripture in Psalm 68:6 that says God sets the solitary in families, and he brings those that are bound into prosperity. And he revealed to me in Job, this one is a key, Job 33:24-30. And he says, he is gracious unto him and says, deliver him from going down to the pit. I found a ransom. And I remember praying, Jesus, you are my ransom. You are my ransom for my family. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's, and he shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him, and he shall see his face with joy. For he will render unto men his righteousness. He looks upon men and say, if any have sinned and perverted that which is right, and it profited me not, he will deliver his soul from going down to the pit, and his life shall see the light. And I remember specifically saying, Lord, I thank you for delivering her soul from going down to the pit, and she will see the light. Lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man to bring his soul back from the pit to be enlightened with the light of the living. And there's another one in Job 33:14-7, when the Lord talks about visiting his people in dreams. And I would pray that, Lord, I thank you for speaking to them in their dreams. Now listen, if you have lost loved ones in your life, or just people you may know who you're just bringing before God, these are some key scriptures that I know the Lord honored for me. And he was working behind the scenes. And through many years of prayer and persistent prayer, my grandmother was at the death's door. She had gone to visit her son in New Jersey, and I knew that she was, this was before she had gotten really, really sick. She wanted to be with him. And while she was there, she was admitted into the hospital, and my sister and I were called to go to New Jersey to visit her. We knew this was her last days. So we flew out to be with her on Monday, and when we got to the hospital, my sister said, "Leslie, you go talk to her." And I believe that was divine because God had given me the prayer to pray for her for all these years. So I stood over her bed and I said, "Grandma, are you ready to ask Jesus into your heart?" And she mouthed it and she said, "Yes." I prayed with her on Monday. She went to be with him on Friday. Word up.
God keeps his promises.
He really does. And I saw that with my own eyes. So whatever you're believing for your family members, he's a covenant-keeping God, and he watches over his word to perform it. Many years later, after a considerable amount of time even praying for my mother, see, these were two key people in my life that I absolutely loved and adored, and I did not want to see them lost. She had, long story short, because it's a long story, and I only have 30 minutes, so I'm going to be mindful of my time. She had gotten really sick. And prior to her passing, I had been doing a lot of prayer for my mom. And she told me, she said, "Leslie, I have a vision of the cross, and I know everything's going to be okay." Shortly after that, she stopped talking. And because, you know, when you're at that death's door, you kind of, whatever. So she stopped talking. But I knew in my heart that my mother had given her heart to the Lord. And I went to see her that day as she was passing. And I was on the phone with my sister, and I said, "Mom, I'm here." And she kind of motioned that she was recognizing we were there. I said, "I got Yvette on the phone." And Yvette said, "Mom, I love you." And I said, "Mom, I love you." She went to be with them right there. I saw her leave. But I knew God kept his promise. Word up.
God keeps his promises.
Amen. He really, really does. And God gave me a dream just to seal it off in my dream. And I believe if it was a dream or if God took me, I'm not sure. They both were so similar. I saw her in a gold gown. Her hair was up in a beautiful, like, big hair, and it was just streaks of gold in it. And then I kept saying, "Get a camera. I got to take a picture. I got to take a picture." And then the scene changed, and she was in a beautiful red gown, and her hair was up in a beautiful bun. And I said, "Get a camera. Get a camera. I got to take a picture." And the Lord showed me when I woke up that morning, he said, "She's dressed in my glory, and she's covered in the blood." Word up. God keeps his promises, and he really does. So there are many times that God showed himself strong on my behalf. And one of the other ways was that he showed me the favor of blessing me with a good man. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about my little angel there. To all the single people out there on TV land, or maybe even in here, if you're believing God for a spouse, because that, if that's your desire, if you're believing God for a spouse, I want to reassure you that God keeps his promises. You see, I was single for many, many years, and that's okay. And honestly, I began to think, well, maybe it wasn't God's will for me to be married. Maybe I was called to be a Anna and pray the kingdom in. And that was okay too. But in my heart, I wanted to be married. And so the Lord gave me the scripture that in Hebrews 13:4, that marriage is honorable and the bed is undefiled. You see, I was 43 years old when I got married, but I was a virgin all of those years. So I kept myself because I feared the Lord and I feared the voice of my grandmother. She told us, she said, "Why buy the cow if you can get the milk for free? And if he loves you, he'll wait." So I grew up using that mantra with any of the guys that approached me, kind of like the vampire held up my cross. My grandma said, "Why buy the cow if you can get the milk for free? And if you love me, you'll wait." Okay, well, you know what? As time was passing and I grew older and all of my friends were getting married or had been married, I began to question that thing about the cow. And I was wondering, well, okay, maybe there might be something else going up about that. So as I was going into the pasture of singleness and mooing like a cow, because everybody else was doing their thing, I remembered his promise to me is that marriage is honorable. God gave me a divine encounter with Mr. Angel Bracero, and he and I have just celebrated 11 years of marriage. Because word up, so for those of us who may be beginning, believing God for new beginnings in your life, whatever that is, whatever the promise is, he really is faithful to keep his word. And he is so mindful of his word. He said that I watch over my word to perform it. And I would put that before him. I said, Lord, you said you watch over your word to perform it. You watch over your word to perform it. So I put my word, his word, in front of him. And I would say, Lord, you said you watch over your word to perform it. And in Numbers 23 and 19, he said, I'm not a man that I should lie, nor the son of man that I should repent. And the Lord taught me that many years ago. Because you see, I was raised in a single home. My dad was not present. The only memory I had of my father growing up was that every promise he made to me was broken. And my mother would tell me and my sister, tell the girls, now you don't believe him until you see the whites of his eyes. Because if you see the whites of his eyes, then he's right there. So that was in my schema about men, about fathers. That if they don't follow through with what they say, they're not a keeper of their word. So when I became a Christian, you know, and started walking with the Lord, I still had that in my head, don't believe him until you see the whites of his eyes. And it wasn't until I had an encounter with the Lord in my prayer closet, and he whispered to my heart, and he said, daughter, you don't have to see the whites of my eyes to believe my word. And that thing broke how I saw God from that moment to now. Because word up,
God,
he really does. And I knew instantly that was the voice of the Lord, because I hadn't even thought about that saying. That was when we were growing up. That's what we heard. So I remember God telling me that he keeps his promises. So whatever we are believing him for, he is a man of his word. Amen. Psalms 138 and 2 says, I will worship toward his holy temple and praise his name for his loving kindness and for his truth, because he has magnified his word above his name. Man, that's good. He's magnified his word above his name. So all the promises of God are yes and amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 says, all the promises of God are yea and in him amen to the glory of God. Word up. So if you have a need, if you have a desire in your heart or something that you've been laying before God and might have even put on the shelf, I want to encourage you that he keeps his promises. You know, I looked this up. There are 8,810 promises in the Bible. And all of those are designed to glorify his name. And I can go on and on, like many of you, about the countless times about how God showed himself strong in my behalf. And this one I'm going to leave you with is the time that I was in school, and things were financially tight for us, naturally growing up in a single home. But I was going to college, and I worked a second job, because when I came home, I laid on the couch and I said, Grandma, I'm not working this summer. She said, oh, yes, you are. We work in this house. So I got two jobs. But while I was taking that job and I was going to church and learning the power of giving and learning the power of tithing, the Lord prompted my heart to give my whole check. And I was like, okay, because this was the money that I was using to save for school. But I obeyed him And I gave my check and I learned to trust him with my finances. So when I had gone back to school, my grandmother received a phone call, and she said that someone called from a random person out of the blue, no one who even recognized or even knew us, I should say. And they wanted to give me a scholarship. But before she had gone to Chicago to pick up the check, she got she stopped to get the mail. The mailman just happened to come. And my bill, my statement for tuition, was in the mail. So she said, well, let me just take it with me. So she stuck it in her purse. And when she had gone to Chicago, they asked her, how much does she owe? And she said, oh, well, I just so happen to have the bill here. They took one look at that bill. They paid my entire tuition. Word up. So please repeat this after me. God keeps his promises. Word up.
God keeps his promises.
So if you have a need, and if you have a desire, or if you want to know the one who keeps his promises, I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. Because I'm a living testimony that God honors his word. I don't care what we're going through. I don't care what our bodies look like, what our bodies feel like. I don't care what our pocketbooks look like. God keeps his promises. He really, really does. So I'm just going to end up and open up the room here for prayer. If anybody wants to know the promise keeper, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I want to invite you to come down and I'll pray with you. But if you have a need that you've been seeking God for a long time, I want to pray with you too, because I'm a testament of his goodness. Amen. In my life.